Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are a lot of Christmas and Easter Christians. We Lutherans often focus also and very importantly on the crucifixion, so we throw Good Friday into the mix. We are Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter Christians. Obviously, I do not mean that is the only time that we go to church, although you will have future members who would not recognize your sanctuary without poinsettias and lilies flowing from the chancel. What I mean is that we see God's work as taking place in these critical events: the Son's incarnation and birth celebrated at Christmas, his atoning death observed on Good Friday, and his victorious resurrection remembered each Easter. We look at these days, which happened within the span of some 33 years of each other, and exclaim, "Wow, God sure was working back then." There's a problem with that final statement, though, isn't there? It is past tense and can imply that God is not doing great things in the present or will not do them in the future. Rather, it almost implies that we look at these events as historical relics that are to be appreciated, something in the past. It's almost as if we see God finally had a heartbeat, a heart rhythm, as Jesus entered the world, a heartbeat that faded on Good Friday, 33 years later, and then came zooming back on Easter, only to fade off the screen again on Ascension Day. Yes, these events are central. They are climactic, and they're critical for our salvation and for the salvation of this fallen world. Yet we must acknowledge that God's saving work did not begin or end with these important days in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is where we can learn some things from Paul's preaching that we just heard in our lesson that was read from Acts chapter 13. Our text is a sermon that Paul gave at a synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia, not the Antioch that is more widely known as the center for the mission of the church west. Rather than focus solely on the work of the incarnate Son, as we Christians of Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter often do, Paul goes further back in history to the time of the patriarchs and recounts Israel's growth in Egypt. Paul recounts the Lord's rescue of Israel from the land of Egypt in the Exodus. He recounts the preservation of Israel in the wilderness, the giving of judges, and finally the giving of kings, especially the giving of the Davidic kingship, which would be eternal. He then connects this story as one that connects in with the story of John the Baptist and Jesus. Literally, that the story of Israel continues with the prophet John and with the Messiah Jesus. But Paul does not even stop there. As he's speaking of the centuries of God's saving work that climax in the Christ event, but he continues forward, not stopping with Good Friday and Easter, which we hear about after the portion of the sermon that you heard this morning. He continues the story of Christ forward to the here and now of the congregation that he is speaking to in that synagogue, as he weaves the story that he is telling with the story of their lives. And I quote from Acts, "Let it be known to you, therefore, brethren, that through this man, Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone that believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses, Beware, therefore, lest there come upon you what was said in the prophets. Behold, you scoffers, wonder and perish. For I do a deed in your days, a deed you will never believe if one declares it to you. What can we learn from Paul's sermon? Paul proclaimed the key coming of God in Christ in the broader narrative of the Lord's coming and presence throughout human history. He shows that the Creator was not ever an absentee landlord whose pulse could only be heard in the confines of the heavenly throne room, but long before the angels announced the first coming of Christ and the voice of John the Baptist pierced the Judean wilderness, God was active, God was saving his people. Many of you have had the privilege of sitting through an Easter Vigil service, and I think that service, as I experienced often in the parish that I serve in Traverse City, is where this point was brought home. As you celebrated the reality of Easter within that wider framework of God's saving work, where you saw then that the resurrection wasn't just a blip on and off the screen. It was part of the wider work of God that began with creation, that continued with such events as the flood and the Exodus, and that climaxed with our Lord coming into this world and then overcoming sin through his death and resurrection. Moreover, after recounting God's coming to Israel that climaxes in Christ's resurrection, death and resurrection, Paul's sermon shows how this story of salvation continues every day in the proclamation of the forgiveness through Christ that brings freedom from sin's bondage, death, and hell itself. Similarly, the Easter Vigil does not stop by talking about Christ's resurrection in 33 AD. But it continues right forward to the font where the baptismal initiates experience God's coming in Christ in the waters of holy baptism, where they experience Christ's death and resurrection as they die to sin and are raised to eternal life. Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter are neither the beginning nor the end of the story of salvation. Christmas is surely an emphatic assurance that our God comes to save, that he comes as Christ, our Emmanuel, God with us. For in the taking on of our flesh, we see our Creator's commitment to his fallen creation. In Jesus taking up our wickedness, our wicked sin, into his sinless flesh and enduring its hellish consequences, we see the amazing love of God for all of his creation. Although the canon is closed, God continues to write new chapters of salvation, about salvation, each day through the life of his church as Christ, our Emmanuel, continues to be God with us and continues to come saving us. Many of you are aware that recently my mother-in-law died. She was taken, called to heaven. And earlier this year, my father was called to heaven. Such events cause people, like a son, to pause and reflect upon life like you ordinarily don't do. And one of the things you look back at is how the Lord has shown you his grace through faithful Christian parents. And I think of how my father, on a Sunday morning, dropped his wife off at the hospital, went and did three services, came back after the services to see that his new son had arrived. One of the first things he did was call up his father, my grandfather, so that on the following Sunday, one of the first things my grandfather did was not just hold me in the living room, but hold me and bring me to the baptismal font so that there, Christ's story of salvation was continued as it was wrapped with my story of being a baby dead in sin. And so now my story continues, not ending with death, but continued with life. Life given in that baptismal font, where Christ came with his forgiveness, life, and salvation to a sinner who is dead in his sin. Indeed, we are truly Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter Christians, but we also are Christians who see Christ coming, Christ's work of salvation active every day, graciously, as we behold Christ not only active there in that manger, or there on that cross, or there coming out of that empty tomb, but also as we behold the Christ who comes to us day after day, wrapped graciously in his words, wrapped in the gracious water of baptism, wrapped in the bread and wine, which are his own flesh and blood of his Lord's Supper. We are everyday Christians who are also seeing that the story will continue to be written to the very last day, especially longing and pleading for the consummation of God's saving work in Christ coming on that last day. This sermon ends with an interesting note in Acts 13. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. All sinners desperately need and are blessed to hear of Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter. They also need and are blessed to hear how that salvation story that began long before this, how it continues even today and every day, right up to the last great climactic day when we will see the consummation of all of God's saving work in Christ. We will see a great multitude that no man can number from every nation, tribe, and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.